I invite you to turn your Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Be our opening text, Ephesians 5, 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Well, tonight we begin a new section of the book of Ephesians, and it deals with the subject of the Christian family. And notice that Paul begins with the role of the wife. Now, why does he do that? Well, actually, if you look at verse 21... he talks about submitting to one another in the fear of, you know, submitting to one another as a Spirit-filled Christian should do. And so that just dovetails into the role of the wife in that aspect. Now, what I'm sharing tonight is not exactly easy in modern culture to talk about the biblical teaching of submission and other aspects of the responsibilities of a wife. But, you know, God has spoken on this subject. What I'm going to share with you is directly from the Word of God, regardless of what people may say today. And it follows the pattern of marriage found in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. God is the one that designed marriage, established marriage. And He is the one that we ought to listen to on this subject. Furthermore, in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus affirmed the Genesis account of marriage, and we should follow the teaching of Jesus. And you know, wives should think about how they relate to their husbands. Some try to dominate their husbands. Some try to manipulate their husbands. Some offer more criticism than positive affirmation in their relationship with their husbands. And any wife that falls into any of those categories certainly needs to hear the message tonight and be open to what God says. Now, Paul does not talk about our rights within marriage, but he talks about our responsibilities within marriage. And the first duty of the wife that is addressed in verse 22 is that is submission to her husband's leadership within the home. And as you can see, I pulled up four other New Testament passages that basically teach the same thing. And so this is not just an isolated teaching, but is the general teaching of the Word of God, even the New Testament. And the Old Testament, after sin entered the world, God said to the woman that your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. And so that may be viewed as a consequence of the fall, but yet still that is what happens and what has happened throughout the years. But don't imagine that if a woman follows the teaching of the New Testament that you are going to be oppressed, that you are somehow going to be worse off. In fact, since Jesus and since Christianity has begun to have such influence in the world, the place of women has been greatly lifted. in our world. There is significant role of women in the New Testament. In fact, women are referred to and spoken of frequently in the New Testament. And women had leading roles in the New Testament church, very important roles in the New Testament church. But contrast that with society of the ancient world. In Greek society, women were confined pretty much to their own quarters. They were not even allowed to eat with the men. They were very, very much second-class citizens. And even among the world's great religions, especially Islam, even to this very day, women have a very low role compared to men. I think if we understand properly the New Testament, women will find themselves in the best possible position in their marriages and in their families and in having the kind of homes that we would all like to have. And so let's see what our text of Scripture has to say about the role of the wife, how to be a good wife, as I've entitled it tonight. And again, the first responsibility is wives, submit to your own husbands. Now, if we're going to understand that, we need to clarify what that means. You know, I still generally insist that this verse be included in marriage ceremonies that I conduct, but I can imagine that I've had a few brides-to-be that would really not want that in the marriage ceremony, but they just kind of go along with it, you know. But I think it's partly a misunderstanding of what it means for wives to submit to their own husbands. And so think about what it does not mean, first of all. It does not mean that the wife is inferior to her husband. A woman is not inferior to man, certainly not in our standing before God in terms of our essence before God, as Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28 indicates. I will say this, though, that women are actually superior to men at being a woman. You know, and in certain endowed ways that God has equipped women. Now, there are some men who try to act and look like a woman, and I tell you, they just don't cut it. You know, they just, you know, a woman is a whole lot better at being a woman than a man is. And women typically are usually better at communication. They tend to be better at nurturing and caring for people and so forth. On the other hand, men tend to have certainly more upper body strength and tend to have more bravery and are better suited for protecting the family. Many men tend to be more analytical in their thinking and so forth. And so women are superior in certain God-given ways, and men are stronger, superior in other ways, but that's really not the point here. The point is who's inferior or who's superior. Submission really has nothing to do with that. There may be inequity of authority, but equity in essence and in being. And let me show you one example of that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, Paul says, "I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." Now there we see that the head of Christ is God. But yet Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." And so there is a difference in headship, there's a difference in authority, but there is not a difference in essence. And so submission does not mean that a wife or a woman is inferior. It certainly doesn't mean that. And furthermore, it doesn't mean that the wife becomes her husband's slave or anything like that. The husband is not to become a despot, a slave master. It doesn't say, husbands, make your wives submit. Nor does it even say, wives, obey your husbands. That's not the kind of language that Paul uses here. And any marriage where the wife feels like her husband makes her a slave is certainly not the kind of submission that Paul is talking about here in verse 22 and the context. And furthermore, the husband-wife relationship is not that of a master-slave, but is that of a partnership. Because in the book of Genesis, when God made marriage, it says the two become one. If you become one, then you are partners. That's the kind of relationship that God intends for us to have, and we are to strive for unity and agreement. And a wise husband is always going to seek his wife's input as they make decisions together. So let's make clear on what it doesn't mean. So what then does submission to your husband mean? Well, first of all, it is a functional term. At times, the Greek word was used in a military context. In fact, perhaps that's the main origin of the word. It means literally to be up under the orders of. And, you know, in a military operation, there must be command and submission to command. Because if every soldier just is doing their own thing, they are going to suffer chaos. They are going to suffer defeat on the battlefield. And so it's a functional term of having authority and recognize that authority and submission to that authority. And so it is a functional term. Over 33 years ago, I felt that God was calling me to pastor here at Swift Creek Baptist Church. And Cheryl and I, of course, talked about that decision and made it clear to her. I felt like that this is what God wanted us to do. But you know, it was, I guess, harder on Cheryl because she was leaving her parents. We were taking the only grandchildren away from her parents, moving 550 miles away. And yet, she submitted not just to me, but to the Lord. Because she recognized this was the Lord's decision. And so, when we recognize that submission is really a functional term, I think that gives greater clarity to the issue. And then furthermore, submission is really a Christian responsibility. It's not a woman's sole responsibility. It is a Christian responsibility. Because in verse 21, as he gives the attributes of a Spirit-filled life, he says that we Christians will be submitting to one another in the fear of God. That as we respect and fear God, we understand that part of our responsibility as Christians is to submit to one another. And if you rebel against authority and insist on having your own way, you are not a Spirit-filled Christian. And that can apply to a wife, that can apply to any realm that we are in where there's authority in our lives. We are all to practice submission to authority. And, you know, we are commanded in the Scriptures, for example, to submit to God, to submit to church leaders, Hebrews 13, to submit to governing authorities. All of us are to submit, when we're children, to submit and obey our parents. And then 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another." Yeah, he talks about the younger submitting to the elders, and then he says, you're all to submit to one another. This is a Christian responsibility. And again, verse 21, submitting to one another. And there are times, of course, when a wise husband is going to submit to the wishes and desires of his wife. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 33, "But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife." Now, if that's not submitting to your wife and submitting to her wishes to please her, I don't know what is. And so, again, this is not an exclusively something for wives to do. And we husbands should also consider to what extent we exercise our headship and authority over our wives in all the realms of her life, for example. I believe we, of course, would do well to delegate authority to certain areas of the home, for example. Usually, the mothers are the main ones responsible for raising the children and seeing to it that they're cared for, and a husband is going to defer to her, and so many of those responsibilities. And then 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4 says, "Therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house." Do you realize what the Greek word translates? One Greek word translated "manage the house." Literally, it means "the lord of the house." Be the house despot. You know, is how it could be literally translated. So Paul is recognizing in the domain of the home, the husband recognizes her authority and doesn't seek to interfere with that. You know, traditionally, a lot of women have been the best suited and best equipped to take care of things in the kitchen, you know. And, you know, sometimes we husbands want to kind of tell her how to do her job, you know, there in the kitchen. It reminds me of a story of a businessman who took an efficiency seminar. And he decided to do a presentation after observing how his wife cooked his breakfast. He did a presentation on how she could do it more efficiently. And then the teacher said, "Well, did you share that with your wife?" And he said, "I sure did." And he said, "Well, how did it go?" "Well, I discovered that I can do it in 7 minutes, cook my breakfast. It took her 20, you know. But now I've got to do it, you know, after I try to tell her how to do her business, you know." And so, you know, we need to understand when Paul says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands," we need to understand what it does and does not mean. But I think we will understand better what it means if we understand the reasons for submission. I think a wife will understand and be willing to do this if we understand reasons. And there are two reasons given in this immediate context. There's a third reason in verse 33, and I'm going to share with you one other reason why the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." Well, first of all, doing so is yielding to the Lordship of Christ. Doing so will yield to the Lordship of Christ. Notice what Paul says there. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. As to the Lord. Paul is comparing your submission to your husband with the submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now that lifts submission to the highest possible level. You understand you are submitting to your husband, but in the process of doing that, you are submitting to the Lord. And you submit to your husband as you submit to the Lord. In Colossians 3:18, Paul writes, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord." And so part of her obedience to the Lord is to submit to her husband. And he goes on to say in verse 23, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." Do it heartily unto the Lord and not unto men. Let's say that you are upset at your husband. And you really don't feel like submitting to him. But, you know, if you remember what Paul says, you're doing it as to the Lord, then that can make all the difference in the world. But there's a second reason, because of the headship of your husband. In fact, this is the specific reason that Paul gives in verse 23. "For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body." You know, every institution has to have a head. The church needs to have a pastor. A business needs to have the head of that business. In government, there has to be a president. In the military, there has to be a commanding general. A home without a head is going to be a place of chaos. And even so, a home needs a leader. And so it says the husband is the head of the wife, as he says there in verse 23. Now we know from the creation account that God created the man first and established headship by virtue of creative order. He has endowed men with certain capacities which should enable him to be the leader and protector of the home. And someone may ask, well, why can't the wife be the head of the home? Well, in some cases, she evidently is. You know, and reminds me of the story of the man said, well, my wife may be the head of the home, but I get the last word. Yes, ma'am. You know, or someone may say, "Well, why can't there be two heads in the home?" And just look around you, and have you noticed that we all have just one head? You know, there are no two-headed monsters in this room. We all have just one head, and you know, the head controls the body. And as long as the head is in charge of the body, there is functionality, there is coordination. And when everything operates well, then both the head and the body are honored. And so God says in His Word that I have established that the husband is the head of the home and the head in the marriage relationship. But there's a third reason. It is because it meets a need in his life. Because it meets a need in his life. If you look at the last of verse 33, there's another responsibility that a wife is to have. See to it that she respects her husband. See to it that she respects her husband. Your husband needs to know that you respect him as a man, as a husband, as a leader within the home. It meets the greatest psychological need that he has. If he feels that you look up to him and respect him, he feels significant. And so if you honor and respect his leadership within the home, it will meet a tremendous need in his life. In fact, Willard Harley, the author of His Needs, Her Needs, said that one of the top five needs of a man is to be admired and respected by his wife. And so a wife needs to remind her husband of his value, of his achievements, and help him build and maintain self-confidence. She should be his biggest fan and should regard him as her hero. But if you don't respect the leadership by refusing to submit to his leadership, you are damaging his self-esteem. You need to be careful about the extent and tone of your disagreements toward your children. Don't make them feel dumb and incompetent. That is not following verse 33, showing respect to your husband. And you know, if you show respect and honor your husband, then he is much more likely to rise to the level that you expect of him. And I tell you, the current trend to weaken the place of men in society and in the home is detrimental. And the feminization of men is also detrimental. It will lead to a further breakdown of the home, and the home is the foundation of society. And so, respect your husband, and respect his leadership because it meets a need in his life. And then finally, because it meets a need in your children's life. A father's headship is very important in the life of your children. Respecting that headship is important in the life of your children. I grew up in the 60s. And in my neighborhood, there are lots of kids in the neighborhood, and just about every home had two parents. And the dad was the recognized head of the home. Now that's the way it was in the 60s. And I went to the elementary school in the neighborhood, and I can tell you, the kids were a whole lot better off then than what you see today. So something has changed. The kids were much better, well-adjusted psychologically and in their behaviors and so forth. And, didn't have so many letters by their name identifying what kind of condition that they have and so forth and so on. You cannot exercise authority if you are not under authority. If a husband expects his wife to recognize his headship, then he needs to be under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if a wife and mother wants her children to recognize her authority, then she needs to demonstrate that in her own life toward her husband. And I must add that what happens when you don't submit? If you don't follow this biblical teaching, one of two things is going to happen. Either your husband is going to rebel and you're going to have war and conflict in your marriage and in your home, or the husband is going to retreat. And both are going to be detrimental. If you become the leader of the home, and become more of a mother figure to him than a wife, that will lead to resentment on his part, that will damage his self-esteem, He will be more likely to abandon the home altogether. And you will discover, perhaps, that the only person you have to lean on is yourself. And furthermore, your children are going to suffer more as a result. And so, Paul gives, and the Bible gives, a number of reasons why it is best to follow the biblical pattern of the husband being the head of the home, the wife recognizing and honoring and respecting that leadership and submitting to that leadership. But finally tonight, we need to understand the manner of submission. The manner of submission. If we are to submit to authority the way we submit to Christ, then that tells us the manner of our submission. And notice, based on verse 22's, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Verse 24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. And so, first of all, the submission should be voluntary. Voluntary. No husband delights in involuntary, grudging submission. We delight in voluntary, sweet, and loving submission. And furthermore, the verb submit is in the middle voice, which can be translated submit yourselves. It is not in the passive voice. It does not mean as if husbands make your wives submit. Instead, it is to be voluntary. It is to be something that you choose to do out of love and out of respect. But it is also to be complete. Now this gets to be the harder part, doesn't it? It says in the last of verse 24, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In everything. You know, if you only submit in the areas where you're happy to submit, where that's what you want to do anyway, that is not really submission. Submit, the real test of submission is, what do I do when he wants to go in a direction that I don't want to go? What do I do when he says, you know, it's not in the financial best interest of our family for you to make this purchase, but yet you really want to make that purchase? But yet, Paul says, submit to him in everything. And don't try to manipulate your way around it and use certain techniques, but voluntarily, graciously submit in everything. And you say, oh no! You know, that's taking it too far. That's taking it too far. You know, in 1 Peter 3, verses 5 and 6, if you want to look it up. It talks about holy women of old who trusted God and did not fear. And it's in a context of submitting to your husbands. You know what Peter is saying? That they said, you know what? I don't like this situation, but I'm just going to say, well, God, I'm putting this in your hands. You know, I'm trusting you. God, and if your husband is being unfair, if he's getting out of line, and you say, God, he's yours. I'm trusting you to help in this situation that I'm facing right now. But you know, there is an exception, in general, you know, when it comes to submission to authority. There's a higher authority, and if the higher authority conflicts with the lower authority, then Acts chapter 5 and verse 29 says we must obey God rather than men. And so if your husband is asking you to do something immoral, illegal, or clearly contrary to Scripture, we must obey God rather than men. But before you claim that exception, I would suggest you get together with a mature believer and describe the situation and make sure they feel the same way, that that's a valid exception. Now, what Paul is saying here is directed primarily to the Christian home, whether the husband's a Christian, a wife is a Christian, in that kind of situation, boy, it makes it so much better. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, he talks about a saved wife and an unsaved husband, and how he makes the argument that you're more likely to reach your unsaved husband for Christ, not so much by what you say, but by how you live. And submitting to your husband, and being loving to him, and being gracious to him, and respecting him. You know, you could berate your husband because he doesn't go to church with you, but instead of berating him, express to him the areas in his life that you do respect and admire. You follow the biblical pattern, and you're more likely to reach your husband for Christ than not doing so. And so, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Those are the two very important responsibilities of a wife in a Christian marriage. And as you reflect upon your own relationship to your husband, do you need to ask God to help you to show a better submissive spirit? Do you need to ask God to help you to show more respect and admiration to your husband? Liz Curtis Higgs was at one time one of the best known disc jockeys. This is a more current picture of her. But she, before she became a Christian, was living a rather wild and ungodly life. And Howard Stern had the morning show and she had the evening show. And she was living in such a way that even Howard Stern pulled her aside and said, you know, you got to get your act together. Now, you know you're living pretty bad when Howard Stern tells you that you got to get your act together. Well, she had a girlfriend that had been inviting her to church again and again. And finally, I guess, just to get her off her back, she said, I'll go to church this one time only. And so she went with her friend to church. And guess what the preacher preached? By the way, because she had been hurt and let down by so many men in her life, that also helped her become a militant feminist. And the pastor preached this passage of Scripture. Wives, submit to your own husbands. And boy, as she heard that, she was squirming and uncomfortable and angry and resentful at what she was hearing, but she went ahead and kept listening. And then the pastor got to verse 25 where it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And by the way, who is it that is called upon to sacrifice themselves for their spouse? The husband or the wife? The husband. And she almost sarcastically leaned over her friend and said, well, shoot, if I could find a man that would love me like that, I could see myself giving myself to him. And her friend said, you know what? There was a man that loved you like that, and his name was Jesus. And He died on the cross to save you from your sins. And after a little time, she opened her heart up to the Lord and she accepted the Lord as her Savior and became a well-known Christian author. That's what can happen when we understand what the Bible is really saying about our relationship to the Lord and how we can have the kind of relationship that God wants us to have that will be blessed and harmonious. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I just thank You for Your Word and the guidance of Your Word. And I pray, Lord, that You will help us. Help us as we seek to apply the teachings of Your Scriptures. And Lord, help us husbands as we hear the message next week to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Lord, help us to apply this in our marriages, in our lives, and to submit ourselves to Your authority first and foremost. And I pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.